God's Word to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, where we'll read verses 1 to 6. Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 6. Hear now God's Word. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou cry after discernment, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver, and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of Jehovah, and find the knowledge of God. For Jehovah giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And our reading of God's Word in the New Testament this Lord's Day morning is found in James, the third chapter, verses 13 to 18. James 3, beginning the reading at the 13th verse. Here again, God's Word. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom is not a wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. And thus far the reading of God's Word. Last Lord's Day morning, I completed my exposition of the text of the book of Proverbs. You might have expected at the very end of the sermon, since I had finally, after these many years, gotten through that book, for me to have sighed a sigh of relief, you know. Done. Finally. Got to the end. We finished going through the text of Proverbs last Lord's Day, but I think we need to stand back and now to survey the landscape that has been formed by the many texts and the many topics that are found in the book of Proverbs. I wish to do that this morning, and then if I'm with you in another month, Lord willing, to pray and preach through the book of Proverbs, touching on various topics that I didn't have time for previously, only for a month, though, so you don't have to worry. Do we remember what wisdom is? Can we go all the way back to the beginning? Could we give a biblical definition of wisdom if we were called upon to do so? Well, that's kind of putting it academically. Do you know in your heart of hearts what wisdom is? Do you meditate upon it? Do you look for it? Do you strive after it day by day? What is wisdom? You've read the book of Proverbs many, many times, I trust, in the last few years. You've heard it expounded in some depth for quite a while. What is wisdom? I told you at the beginning of the series that the Bible uses the word wisdom in a number of ways. Wisdom can stand for learning. A person who knows certain facts, who's mastered a certain area, is considered a wise person. Wisdom can also refer to a skill. Artists are said to be full of wisdom in the Bible. A person who is able to plow the fields and sow them properly and raise a good crop is a wise person. Wisdom is learning. Wisdom is skillfulness. Wisdom can be spiritual comprehension, understanding the things of God. Wisdom can even refer to the inspired words of God. Paul, in reference to his inspired message, says that he speaks with God's wisdom, meaning thereby God's own words. But where the Bible exhorts us to wisdom, where we are called upon to develop greater wisdom, to grow in wisdom, wisdom is especially there being used in the Bible for a moral sense, the ability to use God's Word, or if you will, the practical ability to apply God's Word to daily affairs. Wisdom is the practical ability to apply God's Word to daily affairs. Theologians often know a lot about the Bible and are not very wise people because they can't practically apply the Bible to daily affairs. You may have memorized the books of the Bible, maybe just recently. You may know a lot of Bible knowledge. You might be able to debate with Arminians and Antinomians and Roman Catholics the virtues of the Reformed faith. And yet, in the way that you live your life, in the way that you show how that has been embodied in your life, you're a very foolish person, really. The truth of God's Word has not taken deep root and grown up into the fruit of righteousness in your life. Wisdom is the practical ability to take what God's Word says and what my life is bringing to me and bring them together to fruitfully apply Scripture to the daily affairs of life. And not just apply Scripture to the big, momentous affairs of life, but to the very little things of life. Whether it be how neat you are, how moody you might be, how you use your mouth, how you use your money, what attitude you have towards your brothers, what kind of friend you are. Wisdom in all of the little nitty-gritty details of life is when the Scripture is brought to bear so that you walk in a way that glorifies God and shows that you reverence Him and stand in His holy presence in everything that you do and say and all that you think and plan. And so I ask you, as your pastor, are you wiser this Lord's Day morning than you were, what is it, 5 years ago when I started this series? Are you really wiser people? Have you taken the lessons to heart? Many of you, I suppose in one way or another, all of you at one time or another have said nice things about the sermons, have complimented the sermons, have said, I needed to hear that, or that was a good insight, or something to that effect. But have you changed in your attitudes? Have you changed in your behavior accordingly? Or is wisdom just something that stands out there that we kind of admire and say, boy, that's a good idea. Wouldn't it be great if somebody lived like that? Now, the book of Proverbs has been very convicting to me. I share occasionally, not nearly as much as I might, how often the preparation to preach out of the book of Proverbs has been very indicting to me. You see what a foolish person you are when you get deep into the book of Proverbs. You see how short-sighted you are, how spiritually immature you are. You come up very short in reading the book of Proverbs. And I know that this book has been convicting to many of you. And yet at the same time, having said that, in the course of these 5 years that I've been working through the book of Proverbs, there's been a great deal of disappointment. A great deal of disappointment in seeing friends, in seeing loved ones, in seeing members of this congregation adopt attitudes and pursue actions which are really utterly in disregard of the wisdom taught by Proverbs. I've seen individuals and groups of individuals in our own congregation, in my own family, go contrary to the path that we're counseled to walk in the book of Proverbs. We see wisdom laid out, indeed wisdom crying out to people, inviting people to finally subdue their hearts, in humility submit to God's counsel and exhortation, and yet people stopping their ears and not wanting to hear it, and saying, but it's inconvenient, it's easier to do other things, and to go another way altogether. It's very disappointing. I think we have to face the disappointing fact in ourselves and face the disappointing fact in others around us that there is another kind of wisdom, or perhaps I should say an alleged wisdom, another kind of common sense, another kind of practical outlook that is competing with God's Word, competing with God's inspired wisdom for our attention, competing for our following. There is not only a wisdom that is from above, but the Bible tells us there is a wisdom that is from below as well. And that wisdom from below, or that alleged wisdom from below, is evident in the life of our congregation. It's evident in your individual lives. It's evident in mine. There is a wisdom of this world which does not easily harmonize with the wisdom revealed by God. The wisdom of this world walks by sight. The wisdom given by God walks by faith, trusting Him for the outcome. The wisdom of this world does not take into account practically, habitually, instinctively, consistently, and daily. The wisdom of this world does not take into account the invisible but active involvement of God in the affairs of life. The wisdom given by God does so, and is very aware of that invisible dimension to everything that we do. The wisdom of this world is oriented ultimately to personal desire and happiness. Although when you act like fools and you follow the wisdom of this world, you would never say that you're doing that. Because the wisdom of this world knows better than to fly a red flag of warning and to let its true colors be known. The wisdom of this world nonetheless is oriented to personal desire and happiness, while the wisdom given by God has longer range and broader horizons that takes into account the happiness of others as well as the glory of God. What kind of wisdom do you adopt in your daily affairs? What kind of wisdom do you habitually fall back on, instinctively fall back on? What kind of moral sense do you have? When the chips are down, and not just on those rare occasions of self-conscious religious commitment, when the chips are down, when the rubber hits the road, what kind of person are you? How do you respond out of the gut, as it were, to whatever happens to you in this world and the decisions you have to make, be they financial or familial? What kind of person are you? What kind of wisdom characterizes you? I'd like to take a few moments this morning and characterize the wisdom that we find in the book of Proverbs. I couldn't pretend this is going to be systematic and exhaustive and complete, or we'd be here another 5 years. But I will try to touch on some high points of the wisdom that is taught to us in the book of Proverbs, that you might hold this up as a mirror to yourself, that you might be able to sing that song in a new way, "What kind of fool am I?" Wisdom is not what we know. Wisdom is not what we profess. Over the years, I have seen people in this congregation, people closer to me than that, profess a great deal of wisdom and knowledge and not live according to it, not show any common sense when it comes to applying that self-sacrificially, humbly, and submissively. What kind of wisdom characterizes us? Not in what we profess or know, but in what we do, in our outward fruit. You'll notice in James, the third chapter, which we read in verse 13, that is the emphasis in the Bible when it comes to wisdom. Verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life his works in meekness of wisdom." You want to know what wisdom is? You want to test your own wisdom, gauge it in your own life? Then don't look at what you know and what you're able to profess. Look at your life. Look at the fruit that comes out of the heart that is supposed to be wise. What kind of person are you? The book of Proverbs tells us that godly wisdom is pure. Now, we're going to be going through a lot of verses here, and so I hope you have nimble fingers, and I'd like you to follow along with me. The wisdom that God gives is pure. It doesn't consent to go along with moral compromise. Proverbs 1:10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Verse 15, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path." Do you consent to do things with people that you know does not represent righteousness or complete fidelity, sometimes outright transgression of God's word? Proverbs 4, verses 14 and 15, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, walk not in the way of evil men, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass on." The Bible's very emphatic. Don't tamper with compromise. Don't consent to live in the way of the world. The wisdom that God gives us is sexually faithful. It does not engage in lust. It's interesting. After the early introduction in the book of Proverbs to the whole notion of wisdom and its value, one of the first major sustained themes in the book is that of sexual fidelity, being pure in that sense. Just as an example, Proverbs 5:8. Speaking of the wicked woman, the loose woman, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. Proverbs 6:24 and 5. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the foreigner's tongue, lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. If you were wise instead of fools, you would stop lusting. You would stop playing around. You would stop tampering with the idea of your marital fidelity or infidelity. The wisdom given by God is pure, and therefore it is not greedy. Look at Proverbs 15, verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubles his own house, but he that hates bribes shall live. Or Proverbs 21, 26. There is that coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and withholdeth not. Over against a greedy spirit, the wise person desires to be moderate. Proverbs 30, verses 7 to 9. Two things have I asked of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. The wise person is a pure person, not only in refusing to compromise morally, refusing to engage in lust and sexual infidelity, refusing to be greedy, but rather being moderate. The wise and pure person is faithful in his or her task. Proverbs 25, 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. The idea that the task we are given to fulfill in this world are a calling from God to be faithfully exercised, to give high quality performance for the sake of God himself, shows wisdom. Wisdom is pure because it demonstrates self-control. Proverbs 25, 28. He whose spirit is without restraint is like a city that is broken down and without walls. To know how to restrain yourself, to live within the boundaries God has put in your life, to control yourself and not simply be controlled by disciplinarians outside of you, is a mark of maturity, growing up, a mark of wisdom. Wisdom is pure because it shows moral tenacity. Proverbs 25, 26. As a troubled fountain and as a corrupted spring, so is a righteous man that gives way before the wicked. It's going to be hard to resist the temptation to take just one of these proverbs, you know, and make that the thing that you enshrine in stone or put over the doorway of your house. This would be a good one, though, if you were going to give in. The wicked that gives way before the the righteous giving way before the wicked, giving up their principle, not holding tenaciously to those things that they know to be right. The wisdom given by God is pure because it confesses transgression. It knows that we do not stand right before God. Proverbs 28, 13. He that covers his transgression shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall obtain mercy. The wisdom God gives is pure because it leads not only to confession of sin, but shows us that righteous living is what is going to deliver us from death. Not because we merit it, but because we know the grace of God in our lives and that we must be changed people. Proverbs 10, verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness. But righteousness delivers from death. And so Proverbs would tell us that if you are wise, you would be pure, without compromise. pure in your sexual relations, pure in your financial relations, pure in your faithfulness in pursuing tasks, pure in your relationship with others, and your self-control, and your moral tenacity, and your confession of sin, and walking in righteousness before God. The book of Proverbs teaches this as well, that if you were a wise person, you would be a peace-loving person. First, you would be a peace-loving person because with your mouth you would pursue peace. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a grievous word stirs up anger. Proverbs teaches us that God hates those who sow discord. Proverbs 6, verse 16, there are six things which Jehovah hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked purposes, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that utters lies, and the crescendo of them all, he that sows discord among his brothers. And we have people who sow discord in families. We have people who sow discord in this church, and yet can consider themselves wise. But God hates it, and it is an abomination. The peace-loving person does not spread strife, does not spread gossip, does not quarrel. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man scattereth abroad strife, and a whisperer, a gossip, separates chief friends. We've seen that happen. Proverbs 18:1, he that separateth himself seeketh his own desire or pretext, and rages against all sound wisdom. We see people who separate themselves, who divide from the congregation, divide from their families, divide from their jobs, will not listen to wisdom, constantly getting into some kind of problem and moving on. Verse 8, the words of a whisperer are as dainty morsels going down into the innermost parts. We love to hear the gossip, to talk behind people's backs. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. The wise person is peace-loving, and the use of his or her mouth realizes God hates those who sow discord, does not spread strife, gossip, and quarreling. Moreover, the wise person doesn't meddle in other people's affairs. Proverbs 26:17. He that passes by and vexes himself with strife not belonging to him is like one who takes a dog by the ears. The peace-loving person is one who wants to cover the transgressions of others with love. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. The peace-loving person is slow to anger. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry will deal foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Verse 29. He that is slow to anger is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. If you were wise as a result of hearing this series or reading the book of Proverbs, if you were wise this morning, you would be a peace-loving person in all these ways, as well as a pure person. The Bible tells us that you would also be a considerate and gentle person. Obviously, that kind of consideration and gentle or meek spirit begins with humility. Proverbs exalts the virtue of humility. Proverbs 3:34 says, surely God scoffs at the scoffers, but he gives grace unto the lowly. And Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Wisdom and a gentle spirit begins with humility. And it applies to the way we speak. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breaking of the spirit. Do you speak to people in a harsh, overbearing, unfair way? Or is your tongue a gentle tongue? Proverbs 31 told us last week of the worthy wife and woman. that the law of kindness is on her tongue. A gentle and considerate person cares for others, in particular cares for those who are the underprivileged, cares for widows, cares for the poor, Proverbs 15:25. Jehovah will root up the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. Proverbs 14:31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that hath mercy on the needy honoreth him. Do we show greater concern for those who are underprivileged among us, the widows, the poor, the oppressed? Are we gentle and considerate people? Are we wise? The Bible would teach us that a man is wise when he is easy to be entreated. Another way to translate that is he is a submissive person. The Bible tells us that we should heed our parents. Children, if you don't hear anything else this morning, will you hear this? All of you children, the Bible says if you would grow up to be wise, you must first learn to listen to your parents and to heed their counsel and advice. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be a chaplet of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Proverbs 6, verses 20 to 23. My son, keep the commandment of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou walkest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall watch over thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Listen to your parents, to their reproofs, to their counsel. Obey their commandments. Submit to them. Be easy to be entreated if you would be wise. Not only should we listen to our parents, we should listen to our Heavenly Father. Proverbs tells us we should welcome the chastening of the Lord when it comes into our lives. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of Jehovah, neither be weary of his reproof. For whom Jehovah loveth, he reproveth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. We must heed our parents. We must welcome the chastening of God in our lives. We must be teachable people. There's so much in the book of Proverbs on it. I'm just going to touch a few verses. Proverbs 15:12. A scoffer loves not to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. When you refuse to speak to your elders about your problems, when you don't want to talk and get counsel from your pastor, when you won't listen to your husband or your wife, you're a fool. There's nothing to be proud of in that kind of independence and isolation from what you need to hear. A teachable person goes to the wise and is willing to listen. Proverbs 15, 31 and 32, the ear that hearkeneth to the reproof of life shall abide among the wise. He that refuses correction despises his own soul. He that hearkeneth to reproof getteth understanding. A person who is easy to be entreated not only welcomes God's chastening and hears his parents and is teachable to the wise who God puts in his or her life, but that person is also submissive to God's commandments. Proverbs 13, 13. Whoso despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. A wise person is pure. A wise person is peace-loving. A wise person is gentle and considerate. A wise person is easy to be entreated and submissive. Proverbs would tell us that a wise person is one whose life is full of mercy and good fruits. Of all sorts, full of mercy and good fruits, and that a wise person is a good neighbor. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 30. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. You don't go around with a chip on your shoulder. Proverbs 12, 26. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked causes them to err. You lead your neighbor in the paths of righteousness, and you don't mislead your neighbors, your friends, your acquaintances. Proverbs 14:9. A trespass offering mocketh fools, but among the upright there is goodwill. You're a person who shows goodwill, caring for the well-being of others. Proverbs 24:29. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Don't say you'll get even. Don't say you'll retaliate. Don't treat others that way. Treat them the way you'd have them treat you. Kind of like the opposite side of the golden rule taught by Jesus. Be a good neighbor. Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou wilt heap coals of fire upon his head, and Jehovah will reward thee. Even your enemies should be treated well, with well-being. You should be concerned for their well-being. Look out for their needs. Be willing to meet their needs. Are you a person who is wise in the sense of being full of mercy and good fruits? If you were, then you would put away a wayward mouth. There's so much in the book of Proverbs that I can't hope to be adequate in even summarizing it. But let me touch on these things. Proverbs 4:24. Put away from thee a wayward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. 8:13 says, the fear of Jehovah is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way. And the perverse mouth do I hate, says Jehovah. What kind of perverse mouth and wayward mouth might you have? Well, the Bible says you shouldn't talk too much. You shouldn't talk hastily. You shouldn't talk carelessly. Proverbs 11:13. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. Proverbs 13:3, he that guardeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. How often do you have to say, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't written this letter. I wish I hadn't run into this thing. Proverbs 29:20, seest thou a man hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. The wise person shows good fruits with the use of his mouth because he is kind. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Do you, even when you think you're in the right, rebuke a person by crushing them? Or do you have pleasant words that bring health to that person's soul? The righteous and wise person doesn't use words to stir up anger. Proverbs 15:1-2. A soft answer turns away wrath. A grievous word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uttereth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out folly. If we were wise in the use of our mouths, we would never slander other people. We would be cautious always to speak the truth. Proverbs 10:18. He that hideth hatred is of lying lips. He that uttereth a slander is a fool. Proverbs 19:9. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that uttereth lies shall perish. The wise man doesn't care about being caught. He cares about being accurate. The wise person is full of mercy and good fruits because he doesn't speak without first checking. He's a person who speaks only after exercising caution. Proverbs 18:13. He that giveth an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame unto him. Verse 17. He that pleadeth his cause first seems just, but his neighbor comes and searches him out. Or Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. If we were wise and full of mercy and good fruits, our mouths would show that. We would be good neighbors. We would put away a wayward mouth. We would be hard-working people, full of mercy and good fruits, because we are industrious. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Does this characterize your life, really? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Be ant-like. Work hard. Don't complain about it. It's what God calls you to. Proverbs 10, verses 4 and 5. He becometh poor that worketh with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. We would be hard-working people and full of good fruits for that reason. We would then be liberal in our generosity. Proverbs 11, verses 24 through 26. There is that scattereth and increaseth yet more. There is that that withholdeth more than is meat, but is tending only to want. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth grain, the people shall curse him, but a blessing shall be upon the head of him that sells it. The liberal soul wants to help others, gladly gives, and finds that the more he gives, the more he prospers. The fatter and the more watered he becomes. Wise people understand that. Wise people are not full of envy. Proverbs 14:30. A tranquil heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is overwhelming, but who is able to stand before jealousy? If we were wise today, we could say of our lives that they are full of mercy and good fruits. We are good neighbors. We put away waywardness from our mouths. We are hard-working people, liberal in our generosity, and not full of envy. Proverbs also tells us that the wise person is one who is impartial, without variance, does not flip-flop from principle to principle, is consistent and just in his or her thinking. The wise person doesn't have double standards. Proverbs 11:1. A false balance is an abomination to Jehovah, but a just weight is his delight. Proverbs 20, verse 10. Diverse weights and diverse measures, double standards, are alike an abomination to Jehovah. The person who is without variance and impartial does not accept bribery, does not, for the sake of friendship or gifts or favors, compromise the principles he is to follow or apply. Proverbs 17:23. A wicked man receives a bribe out of the bosom to pervert the ways of justice. Proverbs 28:21. To have respect of persons is not good, neither that a man should transgress for a piece of bread. The person who is impartial shows justice to all. Proverbs 18:5. Not just justice to his friends and acquaintances, not just those who are of the right skin color, not just those who come from the right place or went to the right schools, but justice and the same principles applied to everyone. 18:5 says, to respect the person of the wicked is not good, nor to turn aside the righteous in judgment. Justice for all, regardless of who they are. Proverbs, finally, would tell us that if we would test the wisdom of our lives, we would ask if we see hypocrisy there, if we are sincere people. The hypocrite cops out, says things, does damage, and says, I was only kidding. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. As a madman who casts firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceives his neighbor and says, wasn't I just kidding? Hypocrites cover up their true feelings. They don't really show you how they're feeling. They act one way and they feel another. Proverbs 10, verse 18. He that hideth hatred is of lying lips. He that uttereth a slander is a fool. Hiding hatred. Or Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are profuse. Be careful when people get real affectionate and pretend to be close to you. They may say they are your friends, but the kisses of an enemy can be profuse. Proverbs 23, 7. For as he thinketh within himself, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Here's the person who says, oh yes, have more to eat. Come to my table. But his heart's not really with you when he does that. He's a hypocrite. Proverbs 26, verses 23 to 26. Proverbs 26, 23. Fervent lips and a wicked heart are like an earthen vessel overlaid with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, but he layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness shall be openly showed before the assembly. The person who is wise is sincere, is not a hypocrite, doesn't cop out with, I was only kidding, doesn't cover up his or her true feelings, and doesn't put on a facade. Proverbs 21, 29. A wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his ways. Wicked people are concerned with appearances, righteous people with substance. We show our hypocrisy and our lack of sincerity when our religion is vain. Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Jehovah, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The wicked come and go through religious rituals too, but it's an abomination to God. Proverbs 21:3. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to Jehovah than sacrifice. Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. There are those who think they can live in disobedience to God and yet just pray to God, ask for mercy, and they don't have to care about obeying and turning from their sin. The sincere person, the one who's without hypocrisy, is a loyal friend. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim every one his own kindness, but a faithful man who can find? Proverbs 18, 24. He that maketh many friends doeth it to his own destruction, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 17, 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Were you wise, you would be a good friend, one who is consistent and loyal even through the adversity of another person's life. You would be one who sticks closer than a brother. You would be sensitive and concerned. A person who is sincere and without hypocrisy keeps his or her vows. Proverbs 20, verse 25. It is a snare to a man rashly to say it is holy, that is consecrated, set aside, and after such vows to make inquiry. There are people who make promises, who make vows before God, and then later they begin to wonder whether they really should have done that. And then they depart from what they have promised to do. The person who is without hypocrisy, the person who is sincere, keeps his or her word, keeps his or her vows. Well, we could keep going, but I think we've said enough this morning. If we were wise people, this is what would characterize us. We would be pure. We'd be peace-loving. We'd be gentle and considerate. We'd be easy to be entreated, submissive people. We'd be full of mercy and good fruits. We would be without variance, showing impartiality. We would be without hypocrisy, showing sincerity. That precisely what James tells us when he puts the test of wisdom in front of us in James 3, verse 17. James says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy." That kind of wisdom, that kind of lifestyle, that kind of mentality and attitude comes from above. When you see that in yourself, you know it comes from God. And yet you don't often encounter this kind of wisdom. That kind of wisdom is not embodied in your colleagues at work. Wisdom is not embodied in many of your relatives, I would guess. That kind of wisdom is not even seen in your friends, for the most part. It is not the attitude, it is not the conduct we see in our culture all around us. It is not the status quo. It is not something that is common. It is rather rare. It's an extraordinary thing. That kind of wisdom comes from above. The Bible tells us that wisdom is to be found with God. Job said that in Job 28. He said, "Where is wisdom to be found?" And confessed, "Jehovah knows its ways." And Paul tells us in Romans 16:27, it's the Father who is full of wisdom, God all-wise. In Colossians 2:3, the Son is said to be the repository of all knowledge and wisdom. In Acts 6:3, we see it's the Holy Spirit that grants wisdom to men. Wisdom's found with God, and this wisdom is rare among men. As Proverbs 2:6 told us in our scripture reading this morning, "For Jehovah gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." How do you get that wisdom? Well, by beginning everything with reverence for God. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. By seeing that your life is oriented to the glory of God. Jeremiah 9:23-4 says, "Don't even let the wise man glory in his wisdom, but that he is known of Jehovah." You get wisdom by having a humble and teachable spirit. We've seen that in our scripture readings this morning. You get wisdom by praying to God. In James 1, verse 5, James says, "Do any of you lack wisdom? Then ask of God, because he gives liberally and withholds not." The psalmist in Psalm 51:6 said that it is by the grace of God that he comes to know wisdom in his inward parts. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 are well-known verses, but not well followed. "Trust in Jehovah with all thy heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes." If you would be wise, turn away from listening to the world. Turn away from the common sense that your colleagues would put upon you at work. Turn away from the traditions of interpersonal relation that you find in your family and among your relatives. Don't listen to your friends when they're willing to compromise. Don't trust in your own heart. Don't listen to the other voices around you, but trust in Jehovah. Turn to him and build your life upon the words of Christ. Jesus told a story that we all know. We sing the song about the wise man and the foolish man. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And Jesus says, "My words are the rock." If you would be wise, start governing your life by Scripture rather than intuition, by Scripture rather than tradition, by Scripture rather than all of the tendencies and common sense that are given to you round about in the world. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, it's the Scriptures that make us wise unto salvation. And so you know what the wisdom from above looks like. But before we close, remember, James tells us in James 3:15 that there's another wisdom, a wisdom that is earthly and devilish. a wisdom that comes from below. Look at that in your Bibles. Chapter 3, verse 15 in James. Having spoken of bitter jealousy and faction that glories against the truth, having spoken of those traits which in summary go contrary to the purity, the peaceableness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the sincerity that wisdom from above gives us, James speaks of those who are factious, who want to divide from one another, who have bad attitudes, who live unrighteous lives. And he says, this wisdom is not a wisdom that comes down from above. No, it's of the earth. It's sensual. Another way you could translate that, it's of the natural man. It's of the natural tendency in man. It is devilish, demonic. That's rather frightening, isn't it? The devil comes to us and whispers in our ear, not wicked, horrible things like, go out and murder somebody. Go involve yourself in robbery or rape. Go do some heinous crime. The devil doesn't come like that. The devil comes offering wisdom to us. Demonic, of the natural man, earthly common sense that tells us we should live our lives differently than God says. And this doesn't come waving a red flag. It looks outwardly very much like common sense, like a good idea, like the sort of thing that would be acceptable. The world has its own way of doing things. The world has its own way of seeing things. It's the way of compromise rather than purity. It's the way that shows no genuine commitment to peace, unless that peace is self-serving. It's self-willed rather than submissive. It says, play the game outwardly. Be a hypocrite. Don't worry about double standards. Everyone has them. You need not be sincere. It's the way of the destructive mouth. It's the way of the ready violation of principle. It's the way of the ready violation of promise. It's the way of life in this world. There is a wisdom which is from above, and James, the book of Proverbs, tell us there is a wisdom which is from below. The one is godly, the other only appears to be godly and is really devilish. And that should frighten you. That should frighten you that you're deceived, maybe self-deceived, duped by the evil one himself into doing things that you think make sense, but which are rather contrary to God's exhortation and commandments. Indeed, Paul knew that there were two conflicting conceptions of wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 18, he says, for the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning will I bring to nothing. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God, it was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Seeing that Jews ask for signs and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto Jews a stumbling block, unto Gentiles foolishness, but unto them that are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. There is a wisdom of this world, a wisdom from below, a wisdom that is demonic. And it seems to make perfectly good sense. And there is a wisdom that looks so foolish, the wisdom of God, and the world scoffs at it and laughs at it, and it will laugh at you. Indeed, the wisdom of this world, Paul goes on to say, crucified the Lord of glory, who is unto us the very wisdom of God. Look at chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world who are coming to nothing. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world hath known. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which eye saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him. That should make us very somber people today as we think about this evaluation of our lives and what we've learned from the book of Proverbs. It should make us wonder whether we aren't just making the mistake of doing a few foolish things, but whether our hearts and our lives and our mentality are really tied up with that very outlook that crucifies Christ. What kind of wisdom do we really follow when the chips are down? Are we characterized by purity and peacefulness, a lack of hypocrisy, and all those things described by Proverbs and summarized by James? If we aren't characterized by them, then our mindset and our approach to things is the perspective and the persuasion of the devil. I wouldn't stand up here without explanation and just categorically lay that on you, but now I must. The Bible says so. You follow the wisdom which is from above or the wisdom which is from below. And if you do follow that wisdom from which is below, which is true foolishness, you're the greatest fool of all, having been deceived by the evil one and embodying an outlook which in the end rejects Christ and sends them to the cross, not understanding the Lord of glory. We all need to confess our need to turn away from our own ideas and our own priorities and our own personalities and our own way of doing things, and to pray that God would now instill in us a true wisdom, a wisdom which is from above, by turning us from ourselves to Christ, turning us to his saving work and to the ministry of his Spirit in our hearts. See, the book of Proverbs pushes a very strong redemptive theme because it holds up a mirror to our lives and shows our need of the wisdom of the cross. Let's pray. We confess, our Heavenly Father, that we cannot look even at this short summary of what you have shown us in the book of Proverbs without being ashamed of ourselves and hesitating even to stand in your holy presence and present ourselves, because we are such fools. And we're ashamed because we know that our hearts, our mindset, our principles and priorities, our attitudes and desires and plans and the way that we speak and the way that we do things would truly have led to the crucifixion of your blessed Son. We do live unto ourselves. We do listen to the devil. And we are unworthy of you. We confess all of that and pray that we would not stand here ashamed by ourselves, but rather stand in the righteousness of Christ our Savior. Pray that you would look upon him, that our sins and our foolishness would be laid upon him, and that you would accept his sacrifice in our place, that the penalty of our sin and our waywardness and our foolish hearts would have been paid and accepted by you, that we might be accepted in your sight. We do pray that you would not only redeem us, wash us clean, enlighten our minds, and change the course of our lives, but that you would strengthen us by your Spirit to grow up into Christ, to truly take to heart the message of his word and to build our lives upon that solid rock. We do pray that the Holy Spirit would develop his fruit within us, that that Spirit would give us greater and greater practical ability to apply your holy word even to the daily affairs of our lives, that what would characterize our lives would be a wisdom that does not harmonize with this world or the people around us, but a wisdom that demonstrates by its extraordinary principled character that it's a wisdom from above, which only you can give. You grant us that gift. Give it to us liberally, for we lack it and we desire it from your hand. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.